You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of IAS 2007, the fourth International AIDS Society conference on HIV pathogenesis, treatment, and prevention. Sydney, Australia, July 22nd through July 25th, 2007.
This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of the Body Pro. I'm here in Sydney, Australia at IAS 2007 with Dr. Tony Mills, Assistant Professor of Clinical Medicine, David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. Dr. Mills is also the lead investigator for the DUET 1 study. Dr. Mills, can you talk me through the DUET slides?
Absolutely. So the DUET was a study that we started just over a year ago now. And the whole purpose of the study was that we wanted to be able to provide two new fully functional agents for patients who were highly treatment experienced. And in the past, we had not ever been able to provide more than one investigational agent in the same trial. And as we know, sequential monotherapy doesn't really work for patients. And what would happen is people who really needed new drugs would get one new drug and they would just grow resistant. They would get another new drug and grow resistant to that. So we were very excited at the concept of the whole thing, that we could actually put two new drugs in, maybe recycle some others, and provide a suppressive regimen for patients that was going to be durable and sustained. And that's actually what we found. So when we started the study, both the agents, TMC-114 and TMC-125, were both investigational. About 4 or 5 months into the study, Prezista, TMC-114, got FDA approved. So then there was only one investigational agent. But that was the whole sort of point of the DUET, was the union of these two agents that we knew worked really well together and didn't have a lot of drug-drug interactions and had good additive synergy, really, as far as fighting the HIV. So what we found, and these were the at the time that we enrolled, these were the very sickest patients in our practices. And I sent out emails to my colleagues in Southern California, and everybody referred me, it seems, their one sickest patient. So that's one of the things to remember about the study, is that these were absolutely the most ill patients that were out there at the time. And so the patients came into the study, and everybody in the study got TMC-114, Prezista, darunavir, and then patients were randomized 50-50 to either get TMC-125 or placebo. And then the investigators chose an optimized baseline regimen to go along with the darunavir. And what we found was, you know, much like in the POWER studies that were released last year, patients who got placebo and darunavir actually did very well. We had 45% of people in this trial actually go undetectable on the placebo arm. But what was really exciting was when we used the combination of the two agents and added TMC-125 to the regimen, then we got much closer to 60-65% of patients undetectable. And that's undetectable less than 50 copies. In the past, when we were doing trials on treatment experienced patients, we were happy to just get a one log drop in viral load. And then some very brave trials would look for less than 400 assay for treatment experienced patients. But this is the first time that a trial actually set as its primary endpoint, undetectable less than 50 copies. And we achieve that in the vast majority of patients.
Uh-huh. So is the lesson that treatment experienced patients need two active agents regimen, or is the lesson that these agents are particularly powerful?
I think both of those things are true. I think we've known all along that patients who have a broad three-class drug resistance need more than one agent to really put together a suppressive regimen, and that sometimes we'll get transient effectiveness from a single agent, but the virus is very, very smart and it grows resistant. So the data here really, I think, substantiates what we know already, is that people do better if they have more active agents. But it also showed, I think, a unique intrinsic synergy between these two agents. I think it'll be very exciting to see over the upcoming years as we do more studies with both of these agents, you know, how they'll interact with some of the other novel compounds. But I think what we know right now is that these two particularly seem to work extremely well together and are very, very effective.
Uh-huh. And what is the 60% number? How does that compare with, let's say, other studies of salvage patients? So, is 60% high? It used to be 30%, I think, was considered a success.
Yeah, 30% was a great success, and that 30% frequently was a one-log drop in viral load or undetectable less than 400 copies. The great thing about this is that this was a 60% undetectable less than 50 copies that, you know, was present at 24 weeks, and we're just starting to analyze the 48-week data, but our sense is that that's probably going to be preserved or maybe even improved over the 48 weeks. So 60% in this
patient population was really unheard of. The vast majority of these patients that were in my practice that I took care of had never been undetectable in their whole life on any previous combination. So to get 60% of those people undetectable for the very first time is really incredible.
Uh-huh. And was that sustained?
It's been sustained so far. Yes, like I said, we're just starting to analyze the 48-week data. But I had several patients in my practice who had not fully suppressed yet at 24 weeks, but who did go on to fully suppress after that, which wouldn't be unexpected. This was highly treatment-resistant virus, and especially if patients had high viral loads, sometimes we won't see optimal efficacy at 24 weeks.
Uh-huh. And what were the side effects?
You know, that was really the great surprise, I think, about the study was that the drugs, both of them, were so incredibly well tolerated. It was impossible for me to tell as an investigator, because we were blinded, which patients were on placebo and which ones were on TMC-125. But the amazing thing was that all of them came in on complex regimens, all came in with lots and lots of tolerability complaints about whatever regimen they were on at the time. And then when we put them on the Duet study and followed up with them subsequent to that, very, very rarely did they have any complaints about any adverse side effects. In fact, I got funny emails from patients that said, oh my gosh, for the first time in 10 years, I'm constipated. Uh-huh. So, you know, that's a good thing to have if you're on a protease inhibitor.
Uh-huh. So I guess one more question is, I didn't remember if you mentioned how many patients are in the trial.
There were 1,200 patients in the entire Duet 1 and 2. There were about 600 patients in each trial. Uh-huh. And they were really identical trials, just held at different sites all over the world.
Uh-huh. And the results were identical between them?
The results were very, very similar and very, very consistent between the two studies. The undetectable less than 50 copies was about 60%, very consistent. The placebo arm in both studies was right about 45%, again, which is very consistent with the power data. Now, there are a couple of places where things differed a little bit. In Duet 1, there was a statistically significant increase in the CD4 count at 24 weeks, which we didn't see in Duet 2. But again, it may just be that, you know, we're still not seeing the full effectiveness of the combination. Or it may also just be that the TMC-114 alone, the darunavir alone, is so good at increasing the CD4 count that we're not going to see a huge difference by adding other agents.
Uh-huh. So do you think this study is going to change practice?
I think absolutely the study is going to change practice. It's changed the way that all of us who are active investigators in the study have practiced. And I think that now that the data is out there and people see how synergistic these two agents work together, I think that it's really going to change the way people deal with treatment-experienced patients.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on IAS 2007 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/IAS2007.